on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Now, let me just say, before you start, we'll get there. We'll get there. You will have your opportunities. You'll have your opportunities. We're not going to start there. We'll get there. I know what's coming. Vincent Goodwill, you know, some people, I know what some people would do, not you. Some people would say, no, I'm going to take the high road. Some people would say, I'm going to focus on the news of the day. I'm going to extend some grace. If it comes up, it comes up. It's going to happen organically. I'm not going to force things. I'm not going to pat myself on the back. I'm not going to wag my finger. I'm not going to plant my flag right here, as some did over the weekend. We'll get there, Vinny Goodwill. But before we do, how you doing? Good to see you, brother. How you doing today on a Brother from Another Wednesday?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a beautiful.
Is that right?
Beautiful Wednesday afternoon here. In Detroit, Michigan, you know, it's a beautiful afternoon here.
Nobody asked you where you were. I didn't say, where are you in the country? You didn't have to say the city, more specifically, you didn't have to say the state. If you just said the city, that would have been fine. I love Detroit too. You didn't have to say it was Detroit, Michigan.
You know what? How about this? It's a beautiful day in that state up north. How about that? It's a beautiful day.
We'll get there eventually.
In that state up north.
Let's see.
Eventually.
No, we're not going to do
eventually?
Eventually. We'll get there.
Okay.
I got some other things on my mind today. That is one of the things that's on my mind. It's going to be on my mind this week, next week, a month from now, 2 months from now. That's how it is. You know how it is. It just kind of stays with you. You got a lot of things to consider.
It sticks with you like spaghetti to your stomach, doesn't it? It hurt, doesn't
but,
it?
But yeah.
Embrace that hurt.
But you know,
we can talk about it later. We can prolong the hurt. The hurt. Let's go where you want to go.
This is not about Michigan and Ohio. As candidate Barack Obama once said, we are not red states and blue states. We are the United States of America. I want to talk about the United States of America, and I'm wondering, seriously, if you're like me, are you into, even though you don't know what you're talking about, because I don't, but I'm into it, are you into USA soccer? Were you watching that game yesterday? Did you have all the permutations, all the stats say, hey, we can't draw, we just have to win. We don't have to win by a certain number of goals. We got to win. We'll advance to the knockout round. Do you have World Cup fever? That's my question for you, because I got it.
I don't even got a World Cup cold, let alone a fever.
Man.
You know what I mean?
Why not?
A lot of my friends are into it. It's just point of the calendar. Like, I get the enthusiasm. Like, I love the enthusiasm. You know, I love the energy. Like, you know, for the people remaining on Twitter, it's an amazing, like, sort of minute-to-minute energy, especially if you don't actually know the rules of soccer. Like me, like, I'm going to sit somewhere and say, I am soccer ignorant. But to follow the people who I never see talking about soccer any other time, talk about it with such fervent energy and expertise and sophistication, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take that part of it. Yeah. But it's a busy time of year for me.
There's no expertise coming from me. This is just the fan. This is Michael Holly, fan of USA soccer and fan of the United States. And I have to say, you know, I know a couple people on the team, a little humble brag. I know a couple people, including Matt Turner, who I can vouch for. Matt Turner, great guy. I love to see good things happening for him. He's got an incredible soccer story. Look it up when you have some time. But I would say this about, you know, it's not just about the knockout round, USA-Netherlands taking place on Saturday. We win, We advanced to the round of eight, and which sets us up nicely for 2026 when the World Cup is in North America. And I don't know about you, Vinny Goodwill, I will be at not just one World Cup game in 2026, God willing. I'll be at multiple World Cup games in 2026, being loud and wrong. You know, cheering probably at the wrong time. You know, probably saying touchdown, field goal. You're doing all the things you're not supposed to do at a soccer game. But I'll be there. But not only does it set us up nicely, it kind of goes beyond that conversation, the conversation on happening on the field. And we've always said this over the years in the United States. Hey, what will it take for kids to really stay with soccer? You know, kids always play soccer. They play it. You see youth soccer leagues all across the country. They play it in high school. A very select few play it in college. And then we never get to, it never cracks the big four code of, hey, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL. No one ever says, okay, I can't wait until soccer takes hold in the United States. So, but I think, Vinny, and tell me if I'm wrong on this or if you disagree. I think if the United States just advances to, if the U.S. were to advance to the Final Four in the World Cup, or even win on Saturday, I think that would be a huge spike in soccer interest for those who are kind of on the fence right now or casual soccer fans. You think so?
I think there's nothing more that people like feeling than like a feeling of patriotism. And over the past, 20 years, that's kind of been a weird space for us. You know what I mean? Because of all the rhetoric and conversation around it. But if, we as a country can unite around a common goal, which is, winning a soccer game, it doesn't feel so, lack of a better phrase, bastardized, right? It doesn't feel so co-opted. It feels more, lack of a better phrase, innocent, right? And I do think that if you're a soccer fan on the fringes, if you're someone who watches maybe the Premier League or you know a few names from the Premier League and you just sort of dip in and out, this might force you to come back in a little bit just because it's in your face, you can't avoid it, and it's the United States. It's the colors, it's everything else. The part for me about soccer taking a hold in this country is similar to baseball losing its grip, is that it's so expensive. Whether it's travel, it's cleats, it's accessibility, and all of those things don't reach the major cities where it is, where there's other and better options to play and be able to play by yourself and play in a small group compared to having to do all these other, jump through all these other hoops to play there. So I think it could take hold amongst the fringes and in the suburbs. I don't know if it'll all get down to the mud. You know what I mean? And maybe it doesn't have to get down to the mud. Everything doesn't have to reach there. But I do think there's an opportunity just because Americans like nothing else than to feel superior.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I wonder if that's a big part of it. You know, the potential expenses of the sport. I mean, that's an angle where, and that's an easy fix if the U.S. is really committed to it. Like other countries, like soccer-loving countries, countries that are far ahead of us in consistency in soccer performance. Traditionally, you talk about Brazil. You talk about Italy, you talk about England. Look, they will spare no expense. You give them a talented kid, if that kid doesn't have any money, don't worry, we ain't got no problems. The kid doesn't have any money, we will put talent over anything else. We will make sure that kid has an opportunity to contribute to the national pastime, which is soccer in most of these countries. It's not in ours. But when I hear people say, hey, can you imagine if our best athletes play soccer? I heard this argument 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Can you imagine if our best athletes played soccer? We'd rule the world. Can you imagine LeBron James? What if LeBron James played soccer and not basketball? You know, what if you had, Steph Curry out there? And what if you had Justin Jefferson? Okay, that sounds good. But we're not really wired. One, we're not wired like that. That's not, it's not in our, like soccer is in the soul of Brazil. I mean, it's just the way it is.
It's their sport.
This is on and on. So we're wired in a different way, one. And two, we got enough range where you don't need to play that game of LeBron James here and Justin Jefferson there. Clearly, this team, Vinny, if you're not on board in 2022, promise me that you'll be on board in 2026, because it's like watching, it's like, you know, like seeing somebody you've known since they were 4 or 5 years old, watching them grow into a contributing member of society when they're 21, 22 years old, doing big things. Because I'm telling you, this team is a young team. It's the youngest team in the World Cup. And by 26, we might just mess around and win the thing. We might just mess around and win.
You saying four years from now, like that's next year.
Yeah.
Like, imagine the changes that we're gonna, you know, that we're gonna go through in the sports world, let alone what the soccer world. So you're saying, yeah, you know what you sound like? You know what you signed the reverse? No, You signed the reverse of that terrible wedding song that you and Michael Smith love so much. We ain't getting no younger. Might as well do it. You looking so far ahead. You was like, there's no urgency here. In 4 years, we still going to be young. We going to be okay. I admire the enthusiasm. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to check with you in about 3 months while we're in the throes of, you know, just getting out maybe of the Super Bowl. And All-Star Weekend and everything.
I'm gonna tell you right, you don't
and
have
gonna,
to do that.
And I'm gonna, tell you right I'm gonna now. Ask you, what's your enthusiasm level then?
Oh, I'm a straight up fraud. I didn't make that clear off the top. Oh, I'm a fraud, Vinny. 6 months ago, I couldn't name one person on the team. No, but Matt Turner and I got a couple people. My boy Miles Robinson, who should have been on the team, he got hurt. I've known him since he was 2 years old. Noah's dad, one of my best friends. So Miles Robinson and Matt Turner. I mean, I still can't pronounce Pulisic correctly. That's how he wants to pronounce it. I was saying Pulisic. Some say Pulisic. So I go with Pulisic. I mean, like, come on, I'm a fraud, but I'm a prisoner of the moment, and I'm excited about it. Now let's talk about. We said where we're wired and the sports that we know and the sports that we go to, and winners, not potential winners, but actual winners. Let's talk about the Golden State Warriors for a second. I'm going to talk about the Golden State Warriors with you, because a couple of things happened last night that really shocked me. And you want to talk about the earth moving and volcanoes erupting and just end of the world kind of stuff. I saw that last night in the Mavericks-Warriors game. And it wasn't Luka getting a triple-double. I could see that happening. That was predictable. He always goes off against the Warriors, whether they win or lose. They won.
Right.
But Vinny, in an NBA game, in the fourth quarter, Steph Curry had the ball. And Steph Curry was called for traveling in an NBA. And it wasn't the first time. It was called in the game. The NBA officials, wait for it, called traveling multiple times in a game, and it cost the Warriors an opportunity to win a game. Steve Kerr and Steph Curry talked about it after the game, and after they talk, I want to hear your response to this just this unbelievable world-altering event.
Bang-bang situation. Dumb play by me to not take the layup. I got a little confused on what the time and the score was, honestly. Went for the hero shot. I didn't think it was a travel to the point where you don't let the play run out, but who am I to say?
Yeah, I mean, you know, calls are calls, so some go your way, some don't. And, you know, I guess the NBA is making an emphasis on plays like that. And I don't know if it was a travel or not. I haven't seen it, but... it's going to be really interesting to see, like, if we're going to call that now, we gotta call it all the time because it happens 30 times a game. Guys change pivot feet, and so I'm really happy that the officials are going to emphasize it, but you gotta be consistent with it.
Vinny, what are they doing? Traveling? What, like, first of all, did you think it was traveling? And what are they doing by emphasizing this right now?
Yes, it was traveling. Yes, he picked up the pivot foot by letter of the law. He picked up the pivot foot. Now, the thing that we always say about NBA refs is we don't want them to decide the game. We want the players to decide the game. We say, but we also say we want consistency. We don't know what we want. You know what I mean? We say, don't blow your whistle unless someone's getting mauled. But then if it's a, you know, but then if it's an obvious foul, but not a mauling, we look at the refs and say they're acting funny. And we say we don't want them to call traveling. But then we look at the refs funny when they call traveling on a star. And then we say, man, we don't need star treatment. So we as a basketball public, we as a sports viewing public, have to be more consistent in what we want. I'm completely honest about how I get down. I'm completely honest about my sports sensibilities as a journalist and as an all-around basketball fan. I have learned from the days that Michael Jordan would blow by dudes and still take an extra step. Oh, he's going to get that call that he can push off. Like, the greatest players get additional help even if they don't need it. I noticed Steve Kerr turning the page a little bit more and saying, and planting the seed. I felt like he was more planting a seed than anything else. Okay, if this is the way we're going to call it, make sure we're consistent in how we call it across the board. Because guess who we may have to play in the future? We may have to play Luka Doncic in the future, who's not the fastest dude, who may mess around with pivot feet. We may have to play a Ja Morant in the playoffs, who goes to the basket and may take a liberty here or there. So that's where I think everyone winds up looking a bit hypocritical. So, but I can say, it don't bother me, but so much. Just don't insult my intelligence.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just so used to it. It's just like, it just changes everything for me. It changes the way I watch basketball. I've gotten used to it, Vinny. Guys travel all the time. Steve Kerr was conservative. He said 30 times a game. I'm going to say probably 70 times a game.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Between traveling, I'm going to put it up. Okay, I'll meet you at 45 if you allow me to include traveling and carrying. I was watching this. It's a true story, straight up, because I love going on YouTube and watching these old basketball games. You know, 1965, 1966, you know, watching Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell, early 70s, like Kareem and Bob Lanier. I like watching these old games to see, you know, how much has the game changed? And I remember watching these guards. I'm like, what is this guard doing that I'm not used to? You know what it was? They were dribbling.
No.
They were dribbling. Hey, man, like nobody. Sidney Moncrief wasn't doing that. They weren't doing it. That's what right now guys even carry the ball. We're so used to it. We're so desensitized to carrying. Guys will carry the ball even when they don't need to. They're bringing the ball up, you know, calling out a play, looking at the bench. Oh, what are we running? Oh, fist? Okay. And they're just carrying the ball and nobody says anything. It is just part of NBA life in the 21st century. So if you're going to call traveling, if you call traveling and carrying, I honestly, this sounds ridiculous. I don't know if I'd enjoy the game as much. I like the pro. When the pros do it, that's just what they do.
It doesn't happen that much. I'm far more offended by the foul drawing. I'm more offended by wrapping your car around a tree and claiming insurance. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm more offended by than whether somebody puts their hand on top of the ball or flips it or whatever. Like, I'm not tripping off of that. A, because when I was playing, I ain't had the biggest hands. So when it was time for me to boogie, okay, my hand was gonna flip a little bit to the side. I didn't turn it all the way over. But yeah, you take a little liberty here and there. Now, I was never a big traveler. I'm not a huge fan of traveling, especially once they added the gather step. to it, you understand it. As long as you're not taking four steps, like four steps, all right, you are literally insulting my intelligence. If you let the ball go and you take a step and then you pick it back up and you take two more, that's average basketball lexicon at this point. I'm not going to quibble too much. I'm just not I wasn't a fan of the James Harden foul fest. I wasn't a huge fan of Trae Young kind of doing it a little bit. Like, I will say, if you give the defense a chance by being a little more physical, I can take the carrying of the ball. I'll take that. It's a give and take for me. It's not a zero-sum proposition.
Yeah, it's just so standard now. And I think the officials, okay, great. Go ahead and do it. It takes a lot. As you said off the top, I mean, this league is built on stars and star calls. As long as we've been watching basketball, that's just the way it is. No matter what era, if you're listening to us, watching us right now, no matter what era you're from, whether you start watching basketball 15 years ago or 50 years ago, it's always been like that in the NBA. The league has been built on stars and star calls. I just think it's amazing that the officials think they'll be able to do it with accuracy. It's so fast. Like, I watched that Steph play. I'm like, okay, I guess it's traveling. But they're going to have a lot of opportunities in real time. The game's going to be close like it was last night. The stakes are going to be raised. You think you can catch that fast? I mean, the game, they're so quick. And it happened like Steph just did it. Boom, boom. Oh, all right. And how's that
and
different?
Human error.
Consistency? Right. Can you call it?
You think
the officials will be able to call it with consistency and accuracy? I think they can be consistent. I don't think they'll be able to. I don't think they'll be accurate.
Here's the other thing. It's not the same refs working every game. So different refs have different interpretations of very, you know, black and white rules and what they may allow to go by. I think more or less if every game is consistent, if within the game it's consistent, players will adjust. As opposed to from a night-to-night basis, you're saying, well, Steph was called for this the other night. Ja Morant should be called for this the next night. I think it's a little bit unrealistic. But I do think throughout the course of the game, like 10 travels were called last night. If you're setting the tone in the first few minutes that you're calling travels four times in the first five, then you're gonna go to the huddle and talk to your guys and say, hey, guys, they're not letting it go tonight. Let's be extra tight in our space. And that way you can hold the players accountable. You can hold the officials accountable for being consistent within that micro period. But as far as from a standard 82 games across the board, every ref, every player, I think that's unfair. Now, when it gets to the playoffs, that's where we get a little bit more interesting, Michael Holly. Because I guarantee you, you can mark this down, Gary Carter. Mark this down. Clip this. Put this in a time capsule. A playoff game will be decided by a ref's interpretation of one of these calls, not just a foul or spirit of the law or letter of the law, but one of these type of plays. A playoff game will be decided if, like you said, every game is going to be called this tightly. I think the reason that officials start letting stuff go, Michael, is because you can't call everything. It's like holding in the NFL. They hold on every play. Right. But you're not calling holding on every play. It's like speeding. Are you going to get me who's doing 85 and a 70, or are you going to get someone doing 75 and a 70? You're going to get the person doing 75 and a 70. Usually.
Not
that I do 85. Look,
you just said you did. You just said it.
Metaphorically.
I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate that. I'm going to tell you this. I will admit, I don't want to see it. Whatever I've said in the past about the officials, have been critical of them. I don't want you to call traveling. They called it 10 times. You're like, so 10 times they called it last night, 7 on the Warriors, including that one right there. And I watch it. And watching it, run it one more time. You won't be able to see it. You can't see it. I never want it. Here's my rule. Don't call it in the fourth quarter. If you want to travel, if you want to take 6 steps, it's okay. Don't call it. I don't want a game to be, but between the best players in the world, to be determined by this little thing. That didn't even do much. And he was ready. Say he traveled. Defender, it didn't shake him. He was still there for the contest. So
he should have went for the layup. He should have went for the layup.
Yeah, and that's what he said. I'll give Steph credit. Steph after the game, like Steph is awesome. He really is. He's fun to watch, and he's fun to interview too. Because a lot of guys just won't really make themselves vulnerable in these situations to be like, well, you know, I did what I did, and I live with the results. He said, no, I got confused. I was confused about the time and the game situation. He admitted that. He said, I went for a hero shot. I didn't need to. I should have driven for the layup. That's exactly what he said. He got a little confused in that game. So props to Steph for even
when you got four championships, you can be. When you got four championships, right. You can afford some humility.
Okay. Well, my last thing I say before we take a break, last thing I say, champion, four-time champion. Steph is a four-time champion, correct?
Yes.
Draymond's a four-time champion. He had double digits last night. That's not his game, but he did. I think he had 12 points. Okay, good. Klay Thompson is a four-time champion. Klay Thompson, he had a shot at the buzzer to win it. He missed it. He missed that and a lot of other shots last night. And we've gone back and forth on this. A couple of games ago, Klay was doing his thing. Made a bunch of threes, looked good. Looked like the old Klay. Last night, he looked like old Klay.
Old Klay.
Old. Old Klay. Meanwhile, you're gonna
have Natalie on your behind. Keep talking. Keep talking.
Meanwhile, Jonathan Kuminga had a double-double. That's my boy. He had a double-double. Not that they, you know, it's not tit for tat. It's not that. Okay, I know it. Got it. But I think some of those young guys are on the bench. Kuminga, Jordan Poole. Old Klay's in the starting lineup. I'll just say it, man. They don't, stop dancing around it. Why do the Warriors keep dancing around it? Put Klay on the bench. Ooh. Put him on the bench. Not as a punishment, as a reward. What do you think? It's a reward, Klay. The bench.
Nah, that ain't no reward. That ain't no reward.
You're the captain of the bench. You'll be the captain.
That ain't no reward. Don't do that. Don't insult that man.
Would you do it? Would you put him on the bench?
Not until I absolutely had to, and I don't have to right now.
You're scared. You're scared of him? You're scared of the response?
Nah, it's just not necessary. It's not worth it. It's not worth what you wind up losing.
Okay. All right. You know what I'm going to... Yeah. We're on the same page. You get your opportunity next. You'll get your opportunity. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen and learn. You get to say whatever you want to say.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
So, Vinny, how was your weekend? You know, I feel like I was a little rude off the top. I didn't ask you. Oh, it was Thanksgiving last week, and then you had a long weekend. And then, you know, I should tell the people just to give you a peek behind the curtain. You know, Vinny sent me a text, very nice text on Saturday, and he asked me very nicely if I wanted him to come on the show on Monday. And I said, why would you come on the show on Monday? Why would you do that? You know, like you're not scheduled to come on Monday. Why would you do that? So, Vinny, how was your week? Tell us about your weekend. What happened? Anything?
I'll tell you about my week after Gary plays this. Go ahead, Gary.
I want something else for Friendsgiving besides your wonderful company. Can you come up with something before 4 o'clock Easter?
A hearty good luck to your Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah, baby. Yes, yes, yes.
A good luck for that ass open you're going to take.
Come on, man. Come on, Vinny. You know what's going to happen?
Do
right? You know what's going to happen. You're dreading. You're kind of dreading it. You're dreading it a little bit.
We haven't lost Ohio State since 2019.
Yeah, and you've done it. And you got. We can go back 50 weeks, and you've done it every single week. Every Michigan person I run into just revels in that victory because it's been a long time. It will be a close game for half. It'll be close. I'm just gonna
shoot.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
Shooting your shot. You are calling your shot. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, yeah.
So, in case you didn't know, let me give you a quick refresher here, in case your memory was bad. After the first drive of the game, well, Ohio State marched down the field and they started doing that. It turned into
I-O.
Oh no. 42-16. And after the first 7 minutes of the game, let's see, Michigan was down a running back. Oh, look at that score after that. That is my background right now. You can't, it's a little far away. So I pulled that up for, you know, in my office here. So I wanted the score to be clear. Do you remember a conference call? Do you remember a conference call where Ryan Day, after a contentious conference call, Ryan Day said, I'm going to hang 100 on Michigan? That was a little over a year ago. Since that time, Ryan Day has almost had 100 hung on him by Michigan. Michigan was down to their backup running back, who had a club on one hand. Their best cornerback was a converted wide receiver, right? Their quarterback was a guy who couldn't hit the big throws. Ohio State had the best player on the field. They had the best, they had better weather. They had the talent. They had an 8.5-point favorite, according to Vegas, and they got that ass beat. And before we go any further, let's make it perfectly clear. I don't care where Ohio State is ranked in the college football playoff. That ass whooping you took should exclude you from even participation. Now, the only way you get in is if the committee says, you know what, Michigan is that much better than everybody that we're not going to fault Ohio State for getting their ass whooped because everybody would have suffered an ass whooping like that. But oh no, it was only Ohio State that suffered that ass whooping like that. You know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of the 90s when Tim Biakabutuka was looking across the field from the Heisman Trophy winner. And got 300 yards on him. And it reminded me of Desmond Howard and Charles Woodson doing exactly what I told you that they were going to do. They went. Yep, that's exactly. You know what it also reminded me of? It reminded me of the 1992 NCAA regional final. Michigan versus Ohio State in basketball.
Oh, basketball?
Where the Fabulous Five took out Jim Jackson. And all. So basically, we've had a habit. Michigan has had a habit of beating Buckeye ass when it counts the most. This doesn't make up for 2006, and it doesn't make up for trouble with the spot in 2016 where Ohio State cheated to beat Michigan. But it certainly feels really good to plant that flag on Ohio State. Did you see them? I know there's no video of it because I only saw it through grainy, cell phone video. No,
when
not
they were
that
waving
one.
Okay.
There is the Ohio State players and coaches doing the fight song at the end of the game in the end zone. And Ryan Day looked like someone just stole his woman and stole his waffles at the same damn time. It is poetic justice.
They did. And there's a lot of work to do. Now, there are a couple things you said. And look, you deserve to gloat. You have the receipts. Good for you. I love your sign. Love the backdrop. Very well done. Very well said, Vinny Goodwill. I'm not surprised. But a couple things you said that I think need some investigation. You said it doesn't make up for 2006. Does it make up for 2012? 2013, 2016, 2017, 2018. Like, we always beat y'all. Stop this. 2000, and you had to go back to Bianca Batuka. You had to go back to Charles Woodson, who's from Ohio, by the way. He was an Ohioan.
Okay,
he was. He was Ohio born. He was Ohio bred, and when he dies, he'll be Ohio dead. Okay, he's an Ohioan, and so is Desmond Howard, whether they want to admit it or not. And they went off. They defected. They crossed the line and went to Michigan. Michigan has been encouraged. Michigan has been buoyed by Ohioans. If you didn't have Ohio, you wouldn't have a program. Okay, so let's just calm down there. Bo Schembechler is an Ohioan. Rest in peace. So stop. Y'all need Ohio. Anyway, now let's talk about.
Did you just go to the past? We doing 2012 and 13. I was talking games.
Well, you were talking about,
games where the higher ranked Ohio State team got their ass beat. That's what I was talking about.
Well, yeah, but I want to talk about the big picture. I want to talk about the big picture and how, you know, Michigan has been like, you know, this is why I was so confident, because Michigan had become like a little satellite program for us. I mean, it's like a little, kind of like a homecoming type opponent where you know what's going to happen. But how dare you, if you love the Big Ten, you'll root for Ohio State to be included in the college football playoff, because you can't love the Big Ten and want Ohio State with its one loss to be out of it. You can't let Alabama with two losses in the SEC. You can't let that SEC superiority. Come on.
And guess what? If Michigan was Ohio State's satellite program, guess what Michigan is right now? Your daddy.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Ohio State, the Big Ten is such a great conference.
We broke Ohio State. We broke them.
Well, temporarily. But it's such a great conference, the Big Ten is, that the second best team coming to Ohio Stadium, second best team in the conference and coming to Ohio Stadium and win like that. That just speaks to the depth of the conference. Oh, nice. Nice pictures. We'll see you in the playoffs. Oh, we'll see you in the playoffs. We'll be there. Go Utah.
No, you won't.
Beat USC.
No, you won't.
We'll be there.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Losing is hard for all of us, but I'd rather lose and play than not play at all. And, you know, I love playing. I love competing. I love trying to be a little bit better every day. I love going out there with a sense of purpose to try to get better. And ultimately, I love trying to play at a championship level for my teammates. And obviously, there's challenges every year. Everybody has unique challenges, you know, on and off the field. And, you know, you work as hard as you can with the circumstances that are presented before you. And, you know, we're just going to keep fighting till the end, and we'll be measured by what happens over the course of a long season. And we still have 6 games to go. There's a lot of things that can happen. The future is not written by any stretch. There's a lot of that's going to happen in the next 6 weeks of football, and hopefully we can find better rhythm and find a way to get a win this Monday night against New Orleans, which will be a huge game for us.
All right, well, that was Michigan man Tom Brady on the Let's Go podcast. And I just want to say parenthetically, leave it to Michigan to have the greatest player in NFL history on the roster and have him split time with Drew Henson. Didn't even know what they had. But anyway, Mike Jones is here. And Mike, Tom Brady sounds like he is going to play until he is 50 years old. Did you get that from his comments, or do you think he is just reciting some cliches because that's what you're supposed to say when your team is 5-6 and still has 6 games to play?
No, I think everything he says is real. I mean, look, he's got Giselle out of the way now. He can just keep on playing until, you know, they wheel him off in a wheelchair. So I would not be surprised if, you know, he's still playing at a decent level. Everything around him is not well. The defense is not doing well. Their run game is inconsistent. But Tom Brady, maybe it's not in Tampa. Maybe he finds somewhere else that's got a good situation where he's got another strong defense, potent weapons on offense, good offensive line, and he slides in and continues to play. I don't think he's just talking.
Hold on. You said maybe not in Tampa. So give me an example of somebody who would say, oh, my God, can't wait to bring in our new 46-year-old quarterback next year to lead us to the promised land. What team? We're just spitballing here. What team would be interested in Tom Brady?
I mean, we're just spitballing. You know, what if Robert Kraft says, hey, Bill Belichick, let's run this thing back one more time, you know? I don't know. I'm just, it's too early right now to know exactly how teams are shaping up. But just listening to Tom Brady right there, there is definitely, doesn't sound like he is, you know, having any indecisiveness about the desire to play football anymore. He still wants to, as he said, I'd rather lose than not play at all. So again, whether it's Tampa, whether you find some other situation that's better, we very well could see Tom Brady in 2023.
That sounds like a man who has no home to go to. You said Giselle's out the way. That sounds like a man without an anchor. That sounds like a man who needs a woman in his life to tell him, why are you taking these hits?
No, he's got his anchor. His anchor is football. You know, I mean, you know, for some people it's hip hop, you know, and some people it's this or that. Dude, he's addicted to football. He's in love with football. That's his love. And I think that, you know, he's like, hey, he retired the first time, not really wanting to. It didn't last long. And now he doesn't have someone asking him every year what he has left to prove. He can just keep on playing freely. And if he feels like he can play at a high level, only got himself to answer to now.
I can think of plenty of things to be addicted to that would actually be good for you. Not getting hit in the jaw. That's just me. I get it. Everybody got their advice.
That's true. We're not Tom Brady, you know? None of us are.
That's true.
That guy's a little bit different.
And Tom Brady ain't even Tom Brady no more. Let's just keep it a buck. Like, this is he's old Tom Brady now. He ain't the old Tom Brady. He's old Tom Brady. I want to flip it.
Yes.
I want to flip it. Because I think I look at Kansas City and the AFC and I see that looks like a team that is far and away better than everybody else. Theoretically, right? Is there anybody that's close? Is there a sleeper that you can say, you know what, they can go into Arrowhead and steal a game, or they can keep it a little close and hope that Mahomes does some magic trickery that goes awry or has a Mahomes meltdown like he had in the AFC Championship game last year? Because I don't see Buffalo being the same team. I don't know if anybody out of the AFC East is really any good. I like Miami can be good. I just don't know if I trust them that way. Is there anybody else that strikes you as a dark horse in the AFC?
Well, I mean, I think when you look at all those teams in the AFC, there's questions about every single one of them, except for Kansas City. It's crazy because we talked about the AFC being the stronger conference and then the NFC. But I feel better about the Eagles. I feel better about the 49ers. You know, I mean, the Cowboys are another team that you feel good about. I'm not sure about the Vikings. You can't quite totally believe in them. But as far as the AFC goes, maybe Cincinnati, they have a lot of offensive firepower. They have a good defense. You can't count Buffalo out because Buffalo already won there at Arrowhead this year. Now, that was before Josh Allen hit this slump where he's turning the ball over a lot, you know, and they're kind of, you know, not quite as potent and dominant. We'll see what happens to them down this second half of the season, which is a pretty tough slate. But again, I roll with Patrick Mahomes. I think that you can't bet against that guy. He's the new Tom Brady as far as the guy that you don't want to bet against. But, you know, we'll see. You never know what happens, but I think that they're the best bet to get the Super Bowl out of the AFC.
I'll tell you who's not going to the Super Bowl, and that's the Green Bay Packers. Where are they going is a better question. Ooh. And where are they going? Just big picture. You know, Aaron Rodgers left the game against Philadelphia. Jordan Love came in and looked pretty good. And now Rodgers says, hey, I got good news. I'm going to play this weekend. The 4-8 Packers and the 3-9 Bears, a game nobody wants to see, even in Wisconsin or Illinois. Nobody really wants to see that. So what's happening with Aaron Rodgers now and big picture, Mike, as best you can tell?
Well, right now we know that he's old and banged up. You know, the Packers were optimistic when they signed that $150 million extension this past offseason. They bet on him. And they've gambled and they've lost. He is not effective with a broken thumb. Now he's got a rib injury. But talking to people around the league who read him, read his body language, they say he looks like he's checked out. They're not going anywhere. Right now, since he's banged up, use this as the opportunity to say, hey, have a seat, get healthy. We need to see what we have in Jordan Love because the season is lost, basically. You know, I've talked to some people who say, you know, give him one more, you know, game. And then make that move. Maybe he does want to go in there and beat the Bears and stick it to their fans one more time because we know he loves beating Chicago. But really, it's time for them to figure out what they have in Jordan Love and move forward. And then the offseason, find a trade partner, find some destination for him to go to if he wants to keep on playing. But this ship with him, as far as like chances to compete for a Super Bowl, that ship has sailed.
Are we being a bit too hasty in writing off Aaron Rodgers? I feel like we had this conversation about him 3 years ago. After the first year of Matt LaFleur, it didn't seem like they were necessarily on the same page. Like the numbers didn't look bad, but Aaron Rodgers didn't look like himself. They drafted Jordan Love instead of drafting like a Justin Jefferson. And then you wound up getting these sort of two MVP seasons before this season. Is there another level Aaron Rodgers can come back to, especially when you consider, I think it's, you will know better than me, is it a $60 million cap hit or $30 million cap hit if he's traded before June 1?
Right, but if he, I don't think that he's going to come back to another level. I think we're seeing the decline right here. But when I asked around, ask people, look, would somebody really be willing to touch that contract? I heard, yes, somebody's going to be desperate. Really? Somebody's going to feel like they're who? One piece away. You know, we'll I mean, I don't know yet. We'll see what happens with the Raiders, with their situation, if their head coach is back. You know, there's not a lot of teams that feel like they're one piece away right now. But a lot can happen between now and January, March. But then also, if it's somewhere that Aaron Rodgers really wants to play, he can always rework his contract to be more cap friendly than what it is right now. So, But I don't think that they're going, this is not like, you know, before, like you said, when he had Matt LaFleur, when they first got there, I mean, they were 13-3 that year. They got to deep playoff run. This one is not going anywhere. And also again, he doesn't have the weapons around him. And he is not at the point where he can put a team on his back and carry them anymore. He needs help offensively. Those young guys are okay. But again, he has not looked great. The defense, the pieces that they've put there are not really working well. This whole thing needs to kind of be retooled pretty significantly.
I think, you know, Vinny and Mike, when you think about the words spoken about Deshaun Watson compared to the passes thrown by Deshaun Watson in the last year and a half, 2 years. Yeah. Like the former category is way up here, and the latter is pretty much non-existent. So we get to see it finally on Sunday. And I don't say that in a triumphant sense. It's more, you know, just curiosity of, one, what will he look like when he's on the field? And two, what will the response be in Houston when Deshaun Watson returns to the place where he started his career and where some of his criminal type behavior started to take place or came to light. We hear, Mike, that at least 10 of his accusers will be at the stadium watching that game to make a point to him that they're still here. What do you expect from Deshaun Watson's debut of 2022?
I don't have high expectations for it. I mean, the guy hasn't played football in 2 years. He played in the preseason, and I think he was like 1 for 5 for 7 yards or something like that. Wasn't, you know, it's game speed is way different than practice speed. So He's going to go out there. He might make a couple plays that are, you know, kind of wow plays. He's probably going to struggle. Timing's going to be a little off here and there. He'll probably get booed. There'll be maybe some people with some signs or things like that. But I, like you, am saying finally, so we can kind of, you know, get this whole anticipation out of the way. And, you know, we'll see what he looks like on the field, see if he can help the Browns go on a run late. I think, again, that there will be some rust that he's got to knock off, and it'll take him some time. And realistically, maybe it's next year that the Browns are really competitive with him.
Yeah, they needed, I guess they just needed to be, if they were going to think about being competitive, you know, Jacoby Brissett needed to deliver a victory, one or two more victories for them to be in the conversation.
Right? He wasn't that bad, though. Their defense let him down. Jacoby Brissett, they feel like, talking to people upstairs there, they felt like he did everything they asked of him. The defense wasn't great. You know, they had some injuries on the offensive line, too. But you can't blame Jacoby for this.
All right, Mike
Always
Jones.
Blaming the brother, Mike. Great. Always blaming the brother.
Yeah. Hey, Mike Jones. I got no answer to that. That's funny. Thank you.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
So, Vinny, we were just talking during the break, man. You said Anita Baker was born in Ohio? I didn't even know that. The great Anita Baker? I always thought she was from Detroit. So she's a Buckeye,
she
too?
She is from Detroit. No, she's not a Buckeye. She's not a Buckeye. She would never be a Red Stater. She's a Blue Stater.
Who do you think she was rooting for? Was she rooting for the Buckeyes?
You know who she was rooting for. You know she's rooting for the winners. She's rooting for the victors.
See y'all tomorrow.
See ya.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.